Our next speaker, last speaker, is Jane McMillan. She's a member of the Halifax organization Canadian Average Jews for Just Peace, which conducts a number of educational and other action events regarding the Middle East. So we'll move right on. Okay.
Well, I'd like to be able to start off by saying that Halifax has not been affected by these national and international efforts to stifle debate on Israel and Palestine, but unfortunately I can't. Our group, as Jim mentioned, Canadian Arabs and Jews for Just Peace, was formed in Halifax about 10 or 12 years ago to do whatever a group of volunteers could do to educate ourselves and others about the real facts of the Middle East and to mobilize and advocate for true justice in Israel and Palestine. We have had a number of successful activities over the years, and we have built up a loyal following. Over the years, these activities have included panel discussions, speakers, and other presentations. Most of them were held, like a lot of events in Halifax, because of the universities on the university campuses, at Dalhousie, King's College, and St. Mary's. In November of 2010, we were fortunate to host, along with several other groups in the community, George Galloway, who was a former British Member of Parliament who was on a national speaking tour. The previous year, probably most of you know, George Galloway was banned from entering Canada by Jason Kenney and the Harper government because he was supported terrorism, which was Hamas, I guess is what they thought. Anyway, Mr. Galloway challenged us in court, went to federal court, and won. And so he was on a tour across Canada. Mr. Galloway has a long history of outspoken support for Palestinians and their cause. So one of our local organizers made the usual arrangement for our large venue at the Dow campus. And much later, to our surprise and for the first time, Dalhousie put up bureaucratic barriers to Mr. Galloway speaking on campus. They required an insurance waiver, two extra Dalhousie security guards, and two Halifax police officers. So, of course, this extra cost made it impossible for us to use Dalhousie. We were now left scrambling 7 days before the event to find another venue that could hold 400 people or more. And this shortness of time also limited our ability to advertise. But we managed to do this, and we were able to host Mr. Galloway at St. Andrew's United Church to a sold-out crowd, too, I might add. It turned out to be a great event with a wonderful speaker and a very friendly and appreciative audience. Now, I mention this because, for some reason, there were several police officers around St. Andrew's and surrounding area that evening, which we found a bit ironic because, of course, they would have seen more action from a crowd leaving a minor hockey game than they saw that night. However, we did receive some good media coverage on the Galloway speech. He was interviewed by both private and CBC radio. He met with the editorial board at the Chronicle Herald. Both the CBC and Global TV filmed his talk and showed brief clips on TV. We were disappointed, however, with the coverage in the Halifax Herald. He was interviewed by a reporter who had attended the editorial board meeting and who, for some reason, felt he had to call the Atlantic Jewish Council for a response to be included in this article. So it was an article interviewing George Galloway and took the time to call somebody and get a response to what Galloway had to say. And they did do an editorial, but it was entitled "By George, I think he's got it all wrong." So I'll leave you to guess how that editorial went. Anyway, later on, we also got some grief booking a room at King's for a panel discussion. The panel consisted of a speaker from Vancouver, who is a member of the Independent Jewish Voices. A woman from Washington, D.C., who has done many studies and written a book on Palestine and Israel, and a local member of the interchurch group Kairos. After many discussions back and forth with officials at King's, we did get last-minute permission to have the event. The panel members were both interested and informative, and we had an excellent turnout. But again, we had problems booking a venue. So it was indeed sobering when Nova Scotia Premier Darrell Dexter announced that he was going to lead a trade mission to Israel. How could an NDP premier believe that the majority of Nova Scotians would have no trouble with him wanting to strengthen ties with Israel? Because this was just months after Israel's devastating attacks on Gaza, killing 1,400 Palestinians, including over 300 children. And shortly after, Israeli armed forces killed 9 peace activists on the international flotilla to Gaza. A flotilla that, I might add, also carried Canadian citizens. Darrell Dexter's government did keep the trip to Israel under wraps, though. There was little advance publicity. When we handed out informational leaflets to delegates and MLAs at the NDP convention, virtually none of them knew about this mission or how the decision was made to go. And details about the trip, who went, how much did it cost, or whether Israel paid the shot have still never been revealed. When challenged by us publicly about this commercial and technical mission, Premier Dexter never once mentioned Palestinians nor the occupation they suffer under. It was all about trade opportunities and seeing how Nova Scotian business and universities can learn about innovation, etc., from the Israelis. Since that trade mission, Dalhousie University has twinned with Hebrew University. And then just down the road from Dal, the King's College School of Journalism, along with a few other journalism schools and university faculty, saw nothing wrong with accepting a free junket to Israel over the Christmas holidays, organized and paid for by the Israeli government. No visits to Palestine or conversations with Palestinian journalism schools were on the agenda. We found out about this trip from a story published in the Canadian Jewish News. In the story, King's College Vice President Kim Kearns was quoted as saying, "I see great opportunities for the University of King's College to forge partnerships for student and possibly faculty exchanges. There is no doubt that King's students would benefit enormously from a term of study in Israel and vice versa. So these are the former journalists that we've talked about here tonight. In the same article, an Israeli academic vice president said about the Canadian professors, "Academic boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israel never came up during the visit. The Canadians only spoke about efforts to establish good relations with Israel." Clearly, Israel has benefited from King's participation in this obvious, to most anyway, propaganda and goodwill exercise. We were a bit surprised at King's apparent fascination with Israel. When we tried to interest the King's College School of Journalism in the visits of two young journalists, John Elmer and Leah Tarantinsky, who both work and live in Palestine or Israel, they were polite but unresponsive. And we were coming to them with events their entire student body could participate in. And our events were free, too. Well, I could go on all night with other examples from here and other parts of Canada of problems with getting venues for speakers, pressure being put on those, and especially academics, to speak publicly in support of Palestinians. I'll mention two examples, though, in the U.S., because CAJJP had both of these men as guest speakers here in Halifax. Dr. Norman Finkelstein was denied tenure at DePaul University after a campaign was mounted against him. By pro-Israelis about his support for Palestine. Professor Mark Ellis is under threat of losing his job at Baylor University in Texas for the same reason. There have been complaints and sometimes actual cancellations of Palestinian film festivals, photo exhibits, and the most perverse of all, an exhibit that was to be held at a museum in California of drawings done by children living in Gaza. Many of these drawings depicted the horrors of being bombed. The opening had to be canceled, and the show was mounted much later in another venue because of the outcry by Israeli supporters. And I'd also like to take a minute to talk not so much about the silencing of Israel's critics, but what Israel supporters are able to get away with in our free press. Just recently, the Chronicle Herald and the Global Mail published articles on the visit to Canada of Shimon Peres, the president of Israel. In both these lengthy pieces, what was not mentioned or even alluded to was the over 40-year brutal and harsh Israeli occupation of Palestine and the continuous growth of his illegal settlements on Palestinian land. And also, just a few weeks ago, there was an op-ed piece in the Herald by Joel Lyne, Israel's consul to Quebec and the Atlantic provinces. He extolled the virtues and accomplishments of Israel over the last 64 years. Israel is an innovative nation with a booming economy, he said. What he manages not to mention, besides the occupation and the settlements, of course, is the small fact of the billions of dollars Israel receives every year from the U.S. government. If we didn't have such a compliant and cowardly media, this wouldn't happen. Things like this would be reported. But despite all you have heard tonight, and despite all the efforts by Israel and its lobby to hide the truth about Israel-Palestine, more and more of the world know exactly what is going on. There's just been a recent Israeli newspaper reported last week on a BBC poll this past winter of 24,000 persons in 22 countries. Israel was ranked in the top four countries that, and I quote, most negatively influence the world. 50% of respondents gave Israel a negative assessment. They are tied with North Korea and are nip and tuck with Iran at 55% and Pakistan at 51%. Worldwide, 50% of all respondents see Israel in a negative light. This is up from 47% last year. And why? Why is this happening? Well, the poll said that 45% said Israel's government's policy causes them to see Israel in a negative light. And 27% said it stemmed from Israel's treatment of its own people. Of those who saw Israel favorably, 27% said it was because of their sympathy with Judaism. According to the poll, 59% of Canadians have a negative view of Israel, up 7% from 1 year ago, despite our cheering from the conservatives in Ottawa. Israel's standing in Europe has also taken a dive. Spain, 74%, Great Britain, 68%, Germany, 69%, and France, 56%. Only in the U.S., with 35% having a negative view of Israel, did Israel's perception improve, up by 6% from last year. However, just this last month, a remarkable thing happened at CBS in the U.S. Their top current affairs show, 60 Minutes, did a 14-minute story on the hardships faced by Palestinian Christians in the occupied West Bank. The story unleashed a furious response from major Jewish and right-wing Christian groups, and CBS received 29,000 letters, many before the show was even on TV. In response, however, more than 36,000 Americans and Canadians signed an email petition congratulating CBS for the show. Even more remarkably, the show itself aired an exchange between the reporter and the Israeli ambassador to the U.S. Did you want to show that now, Larry? Yeah. And we've got a clip of that show, and we thought we'd show it to you.
No, it's at the back.
Front lights, please.
Perhaps you could just think who that reporter is. Do you know his name?
No, I don't.
I forgot.
Bob Simon. Is a multi-billion dollar business there.
Tourism.
Most tourists are Christian. Many of them are American. That's one reason why Israelis are very sensitive about their image in the United States. And that could be why Ambassador Oren phoned Jeff Fager, the head of CBS News and executive producer of 60 Minutes, while we were still reporting the story long before tonight's broadcast. He said he had information our story was, quote, a hatchet job. It seemed to me outrageous, completely incomprehensible, that at a time when these communities, Christian communities throughout the Middle East, are being oppressed and massacred, when churches are being burnt, when one of the great stories in history is unfolding. I think you got me a little bit mystified.
And there was a reason to call the president of chairman of CBS News.
Well, I'm the ambassador of the state of Israel. I do that very, very infrequently as ambassador. It's an extraordinary move for me to complain about something. When I heard that you were going to do a story about Christians in the Holy Land, and my assumption, and had, I believe, information about the nature of it, and it's been confirmed by this interview today.
Nothing has been confirmed by the interview, Mr. Ambassador, because you don't know what's going to be put on air.
Okay, I don't. True.
Mr. Ambassador, I've been doing this a long time, and I've received lots of reactions from just about everyone I've done stories about, but I've never gotten a reaction before from a story that hasn't been broadcast yet.
Well, it's the first time for everything, Bob.
This land has seen just about everything over the centuries. The ritual in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the day before Easter, hasn't changed in more than a millennium. We went into the church with Patriarch Theophilus and watched thousands jostling to get as close as they could to the tomb from which they believe.
But if that item is on YouTube, you can easily just go to CBS 60 Minutes and you see the whole. And it's just what's interesting is that along the internet, many of the people who are ardently pro Zionists have a terrific critique of that item, that it didn't go far enough and it soft pedaled what was going on in the occupation. So it was an interesting that was enough to infuriate.
Okay, just to sum up, and we must remember that in the UN, dozens of resolutions condemning the Israeli occupation of the West Bank, Gaza, and the Golan Heights has been passed by votes of about 126. Disgracefully, the Harper government has joined hands with the U.S. and a few South Pacific islands in siding with Israel in recent votes. How did this work out for Canada? Well, we lost to Portugal in the vote for a seat on the UN Security Council, the first time Canada has ever lost such an international vote. And, of course, Palestine was approved as a member of UNESCO. In world public opinion, Israel is on the ropes, and that is why they are fighting so hard to keep everyone quiet about the ugly acts of Israel's occupation of Palestine and its treatment of the more than 1 million Palestinian Arabs who live in and are citizens of Israel. I look forward to your questions. Thank you.